Thanks for joining us this week, and welcome to Mutuality Matters, a podcast hosted by CBE International, where our mission is to promote the biblical message that God calls women and men of all cultures, races, and classes to share authority equally in service and leadership in the home, church, and world. Let's get into this week's episode.
This is Rob Dixon, Lila Van Gerpen. For the last 2+ years, we've been focused exclusively in our podcast thread on the dynamics of women and men working together in the ministry context. And it has been a joy to learn from and with an incredible roster of guests, right? We have had some great folks on this podcast. As we make a shift in our podcast topic, we're going to keep talking about that. We're going to keep talking about women and men working together in ministry partnerships, but we're also going to broaden our focus just a bit. So this shift will help us let us talk more about just interpersonal partnerships. We'll get to explore things like systems, organizational culture, theology, and more. What won't change is our emphasis on embodying our egalitarian convictions. Our commitment to listeners is to produce episodes that articulate practical, actionable ways forward. That's important to us. Lai, let me ask you, how are you feeling about making this shift?
I'm ready for it. I think that it's been a joy to hear stories of the variety of people that we've had on the podcast and the ways that they've experienced mixed gender partnerships. And I think I'm ready to dig into some of these other dynamics that are also at play in these partnerships. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, same thing. It gives the opportunity to just go beyond just the interpersonal. And I'm excited to do that. I've got some good guests in mind for talking about systemic issues or whatever it is.
Yeah. So let me start. So we're going to be doing something a little different today. We don't have a guest from the outside that we're bringing in to interview. We are actually going to end this podcast thread of men and women in partnership by interviewing ourselves.
Wow.
So we're...
Look at that.
We have gathered... Yeah, that's right. We have gathered some questions from listeners and we're going to be sharing them here. And yeah, just as a way to say goodbye to our former thread and mark this shift into a new season. So why don't we start with our beginner question that we love to start with by asking, Rob, what is a mixed gender partnership that you appreciate in pop culture or literature or media?
Yeah, it's only fair that we ask ourselves that.
That's right.
Right. I'm going to go the pop culture route for sure. And I'm going to talk about Stranger Things. So let me start with the disclaimer. This show is not for everyone. It's a little bit of a horror genre. It's not easy to watch at some points. If you've got a queasy stomach, you may steer clear. But my kids have been into Stranger Things, and so we've watched it as a family. And there's a lot of dynamics going on between all kinds of different people. But there is this partnership between two adults that are working with this tribe of kids that are saving the world from all kinds of craziness. And their names are Hopper and Joyce. Hopper is played by David. His name is David Harbour, I think. And then Winona Ryder plays Joyce.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing I love about them is the thing I think other people I have talked about, the X-Files and Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
They have the same dynamic, Joyce and Hopper. So Hopper is like the realist. I need evidence. I've got to see it like in front of me, lived out tangibly. Mm-hmm. Joyce is like the dreamer, willing to believe just about anything. And that dynamic is really fun and funny to watch get expressed in all the craziness going on in the town of Hawkins. So put me down for the partnership between Hopper and Joyce. Yeah. How about for you?
That's awesome. Okay. The partnership that keeps coming to mind, I think we've had a guest share this, maybe a couple, but it is Leslie Knope and Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation. So this is a show that my husband and I love to watch, and every now and then we'll just start watching it again and pick it up. It's such a fun show. And also, I think my husband and I have similar personalities to Leslie Knope and Ron Swanson, and we're endeared to those characters.
Yes.
But the reason I thought of them as just a model of mixed gender partnership is that Leslie is the one in charge. She works with Ron Swanson, and they couldn't be more different. She's got positivity and hope of what the Parks and Recreation Department can do. And Ron is a little curmudgeon about what his role is in that vision. But they work together and they get things done together. And I love towards the end of the series, there's this conflict that they go through And when they finally come on the same page together, you realize that both the characters have changed. And it's their partnership that has helped transform even just their vision for what they want partnership to be, even if it was experienced through longing or through conflict or through distance, just realizing, wow, their partnership not only accomplished things like through them, but actually for them. And I really love that.
I love that. All right. We want to thank the listeners who sent in questions for sure. These are some really good ones. Yes. And we've grouped them into three categories. And so I'll start with the first one, Lai, a couple of questions on our experience of podcasting as a medium, sort of this whole the dynamics of putting together a podcast. So a couple of questions. So number one, how has the experience been producing a podcast? Would you say it's been easy, hard, or somewhere in the middle?
I would say somewhere in the middle. I look back to some of those first episodes we recorded and I think, gosh, I was so nervous to say the right thing, to make sure that I had clarity of what I wanted to express, to make sure that I was engaged in the people that we were interviewing. And I think what made me nervous is just the reality that like this stuff lives forever. Yeah. It's put on a hard drive and just, you don't want to mess up in that way. I think the other part is I just really want to steward this opportunity really well. And nerves aside, it has been so fun. It has been really energizing to think about the conversations we've been able to have. And I think even because of the podcast format, it's helped expand my own vision and affirm my own desire for healthy partnership and ministry. And that part has been really easy. I've loved our conversations with our guests. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, for sure. So a couple of thoughts. I mean, one, I said what you just said. I think if you listen to our first episode and listen to like our last one, it is pretty interesting to know that we've changed over time for the better, we hope, right? Listeners can tell us, but hopefully we've grown over time. And it is, I think it's, I don't know, I think a lot of podcasts get started in the world of ours every day. But it, I think you need to expect that you're going to grow over to develop, right, over time.
Yeah, totally.
The thing I was going to say, the other thing I was going to say is it's been a joy to learn alongside the listeners. We're, in that sense, we're listeners too. And I think you alluded to
that. Totally.
But yeah, right. Like after every episode recording, I've got things I'm going to do like the next day to apply what I've experienced. And that's been joyful. Sure. That's on the easy side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Let's talk. Do we have any funny stories that we can share as we've been podcasting?
Okay, I know you have a good one, but I want to say like one of the funniest parts of just recording, just the technical part of recording is like how many times we just, it feels like I have marbles in my mouth and I'm trying to say, I'm trying to read the intro or outro or whatever. And I just, it is always funny to hear the multiple takes of just trying to get my words out. And that always, it just cracks me up.
Yeah.
What about you?
Our joke is always, one take.
Yeah, and one take. We're going to do this in one take.
Inevitably, it's not one take. In fact, we should get a blooper reel.
Right.
What I was going to say is there has been a couple times, at least one I can remember, where a guest said something inadvertently that was just funny, or in this case, I'm thinking of inappropriate. And so I won't name the guest or even say what they said. But what I will say is this word was said and you and I caught it in real time. Do you remember? And we we made eye contact on the Zoom. And we had just the faintest little grin on our faces. And then we kept moving because she was still, the guest was still talking. And then, but she caught it. Do you remember? She caught it. Happened, right? And that was a super funny moment to be able to. We re-recorded that, listeners. The original take and re-recorded.
Yeah, on the blooper reel.
For sure.
Yeah.
Maybe one more question here under this general heading of podcast as a medium. Do you have any thoughts now that we've done this for a couple of years on the podcast format as a way to get your message out into the world?
I think this is so funny because during COVID quarantine, I remember someone tweeted something that was like, please, whatever you don't start a podcast. Like, I know you're home. I know you're bored. Don't start a podcast. So it's like everyone and their mom has a podcast right now. When I think about the way that I just consume media and news, I think podcasts have a very powerful role to equip and to communicate into the world. And I think this experience has just reminded me like how important stories and how important it is to have even just to something that's digestible and why it's so important to just cast a compelling vision for why this stuff matters.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I was thinking about
that. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too a little bit. Like the is one more option for how people can receive the content that we want to deliver.
Yes.
And it feels like one of many. I think a podcast by itself, if we're the only people talking about the dynamics of women and men working together, it's insufficient. But if there are books, if there are articles, if there's blog posts, if there's teaching in the church on Sunday mornings, like in addition to everything else, I feel like it's to use a basketball, it's March Madness, to use a basketball term, it's like a full court press. We need everybody pushing in the same direction. And again, we're grateful for CBE opening the door to let us play our part in that process.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. Yeah. I think, especially as a woman in ministry and leadership, I just think like it's so important to feel seen in your experience, like that you can look to someone else and say, oh, I relate to that. And I think one of the gifts of the podcast, especially in the variety of ways that this podcast offers these stories, is I just think about friends of mine who've shared podcast episodes to people who are in similar circumstances that are just wanting to have hope about it. And I just think that is such a gift to be able to do. We could do that with articles. We can do that. But there's something about hearing someone's story from them that is a gift, I think.
Yeah, no, that's right. So. Yeah.
Let's talk about just some of the questions we got are about what we're learning as we've gone along. So what are we learning about podcasting, about even just men and women in partnerships? So let me start with the question. Has it been hard to recruit guests? Or are people like, how are we getting people to interview? Are people like knocking down our door to interview, right?
Yeah.
How's that been, Rob?
Yeah, it's been, I think it's been easy actually to get. The hardest part is the scheduling, right?
Yes.
Scheduling is always a challenge. But in terms of like availability, people are interested in talking about that, this stuff. And to me, that's a flashing green light because, and actually I should tell you listeners, it dovetails with my experience doing this in person. So when I talk about the dynamics of women and men working together in person and in groups or churches or denominations or wherever I am, people have a lot of questions. People want to talk about this stuff. And the experience of working with our guests affirms that, right? That there's this thirst to create spaces, thoughtful, safe, well-led, well-curated spaces to talk about these dynamics. And so, that's been my experience with the guests. And I think, again, it dovetails with what I'm experiencing more broadly. How about for you?
The guests are people that we're just networked with. And so they're people that we've thought of. And then I think there are people that have been like mentioned to us from other people. And like someone recommends someone, other podcasts I'll say it like, hey, interview my friend. And I just think about there's such good people that are doing really healthy ministry in partnership with each other. And just, I don't know that anyone has been like knocking down our door to, hey, I want to tell my story. But when they hear the invitation and they think about what that could be like for them to synthesize their own experience and offer even vision for partnership, I think it's been met with joy.
Yeah.
Most often.
That's right. Joy and a little bit of scheduling questions.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what has surprised you? What's been the most surprising thing you've learned as you've done this podcast?
Yeah, that's a great, there's so much to talk about here. We'll talk more about the learning stuff here in a minute, other questions. But I think it's just like you said earlier about the medium of the podcast and hearing someone's story from their own voice and with their own experiences. I just, every time I have this kind of moment where someone's sharing, a woman generally is sharing, and I just am hit at a heart level with how important it is to be talking about this stuff. How the church has a long ways to go and how there's hope as we move towards that. I talk about this stuff a lot. I do training on this all the time. I've written on this.
Yeah. But
it's another thing just every time to be struck at a heart level of someone's story. And I think that's been the most surprising thing for me. Sometimes I think of myself as like jaded, been there, done that, but it's a thing to sit with someone in an interview format and hear them pour out their heart. And so, that's been surprising and a really pleasant surprise for me. How about for you, Lai?
Yeah. I think similarly, what comes to mind is like when I hear some of the painful pain points of experience women or men have in just unhealthy partnerships, it just affirms that sense in me when I've experienced my own pain points of, oh, I'm not crazy. there are ways that unhealthy practices or unhealthy dynamics really hurt. And I think that the other thing that has surprised me is my sense of hope as each guest has shared. What is your vision as you look ahead to the future? What is your vision for how this could look? It has just infused my own passion and vision for, oh, this is possible.
That's right. Yeah, said.
Women have been at the forefront of discoveries, new technologies, leaders in their communities, homes, even churches for hundreds of years. But their stories often go untold and eventually get forgotten. Join CBE International at this year's conference, Tell Her Story, Women in Scripture and History, where we will spend 3 days rediscovering these stories and studying the mountains of evidence for women in leadership. Come for exciting keynote lectures and in-depth workshops from renowned scholars, authors, and theologians. You can register today at cbe.today/Denver 2024.
Yeah. From the interviews we've done, what do you see as the biggest obstacles to men and women partnering well in ministry?
One would be people use the term microaggressions, and a lot of the women on our podcast episodes have identified examples of microaggressions. Yeah. I think I might have said this before. I don't love that term microaggressions because as people have shared their stories, they feel more like macroaggressions. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, totally.
Feel macro, right? Especially the repeated experience of that. So I think, just the little things that the being excluded from a conversation or being talked over or interrupted or mansplained or whatever the those dynamics are, those, feel like huge impediments. The good news is they're with a little bit of awareness, you can start to work on those things and fix those things. But that's been one obstacle I think that's come up. And then the other one that I'm thinking about is maybe gatekeepers would be the language, like the like men in particular who control the agenda or control the selection of who gets what, and gatekeepers who are unaware that there are women in their midst that have gifts and callings and all of that being a limitation or a impediment to women thriving. So those would be two things. How about for you?
Yeah. I think one of the obstacles that I've learned and recognized is someone's inability to examine their own self, like they're to be able to, whether it's because of pride or whether it's just a kind of fixation on like how they want things to be, the inability to self-check. I think that's a huge obstacle because even if someone were to say, this is my experience, their inability to just self-examine limits them from being able to even hear that as a part of the partnership and ends up being a projection of, oh, that's their issue. So I think that's a huge, like when I think of the stories that people have shared in partnerships that have gone well, there's just this mutual humility offered into the partnership. The other obstacle that comes to mind is just the lack of relationships, the lack of, so there are leaders in positions of church leadership or organizational leadership that are just not in partnership with any women, men who are not in partnership with any women. Brene Brown has a quote that says, people are hard to hate up close. Wow. And I think there's something that softens in our hearts when we actually put real relationships to our theology. Right. And it's hard to think about how to develop a theology when you don't have the voices of the people that are affected by it in your life.
That's right.
Okay. Good. All right. Let's start. As we've been doing this podcast, let's kind of name off some of the best hacks or best tips that folks can do to partner well in ministry. So what you got?
Yeah, lots of them for sure. But I think the main one that comes to mind is communication. It feels like almost like a deal breaker. You can't communicate. Yeah. You're going to have a really hard time working together.
Yeah.
And then, so that feels crucial, central, maximum importance in terms of, you know, how much you're communicating, but also what you're talking about and having both of those things be robust, right? So communication is definitely one of them. I think time together would be another one. I just can think of particular guests who have just talked about like, we just started together a lot, you know, we share an office, whatever it is. And there's no substitute for spending extended time together as a way to build trust, as a way to build partnership and friendship and all of that too. So those would be a couple. How about you, Lai?
Yeah, love that. For me, something that comes to mind is just the role, like the role that sponsorship plays. So having a leader that is in a position of authority, sponsoring another leader that has capacity to be in partnership with them, but doesn't have access quite yet. And yeah, sponsorship, I think, some of the guests that we've had, men and women who are partnering together, but they're not married or they're, I love the way that they are just doing life together, that they work together, but their families are integrated. I think there's something really helpful in the for the partnership when there's just this integration of life and ministry and partnership. I second the communication piece. I think that you got to learn how to do hard conversations. You got to learn how to name the awkward and just keep that communication line honest and clear and kind.
Yep, that's good. Okay, last category for questions. Final question is, people had some questions actually about our partnership. And I realized when we got those, I realized we don't talk about.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever told the kind of the story of our own journey.
Yeah.
So it might be fun to answer these. So two of them. One of them is, so the listener says, I don't think we've ever heard you talk about how your partnership got started. Can you tell us a bit about that story? You want to start on this one?
Sure. I have to get the numbers right, but we have been on staff with InterVarsity. I've been on staff for 22, 23 years. You've been on staff a little longer, 25 something. Yeah. So we both work with InterVarsity, but about 2009, I moved to Fresno, California, which is where you lived, and worked with you. So I moved here. You became my supervisor and we did a lot of, I was an associate or area director. We were doing a lot of ministry partnership together. That's where, even though we've been on staff in the same kind of bigger circle together, I think it's 2009 when I moved to Fresno, we were in the same city. I didn't know very many people that I would say our partnership got started. Yeah. And then we've been working together really since then, since 2009.
Yeah. I remember the look on your face when I said, hey, would you consider moving to Fresno? That was not an easy yes.
Yeah, it was for 1 year, and I've been here since then. So it's something about Fresno has been compelling. So I'll say that.
Yeah. I think initially, especially there was like the power dynamic,
yes,
the divisorial dynamic. But over time, mm-hmm. I feel like we just figured out ways to function more as
leaders
in that. Mm-hmm. And so I think by the time we probably worked together with Cassie for like 10 years.
Yes. And
by the end, it really did feel like we're just sharing a job mm-hmm. too much, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Now we're lateral leadership positions.
Yep. Yep. And yeah. And over the last couple of years, I don't feel like we haven't been able to work as closely together. I miss the sort of close partnership of that decade, but I think we're pretty intentional about trying to.
Yeah.
Ask for ways or design ways to work together.
That's
one example, but
we do
trainings together or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely. The partnership's been a gift. Definitely. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Let me ask. So another listener asks, how has it been working together on this particular project? So as we've taken on the podcast together, do you feel like you've been able to practice what you're preaching is what they're asking?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I would say yes and, right? So there's always just more that I want to. I think every day is an opportunity to like continue to embody this, just this desire to minister in partnership in healthy ways. I've loved working on it with you. I think it's been really fun. Like we have a friendship outside of this podcast and we've been in ministry for such a long time together that I think it's been really fun to have this format of interviewing other people doing ministry partnership, because we have also experienced that, even though we haven't shared a ton of the stories on the podcast ourselves, it has encouraged me. I think as just a woman in leadership in ministry, it has been really encouraging my own sense of confidence in my gifts and in my influence. And I think, have I been able to practice what I preach? I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying. I'm on the preaching team at my church. I try to live into that with confidence. Even when I'm nervous, there's a phrase like, do it scared. So even when I'm nervous, I think there's just been this joy of telling the stories of this conviction that kind of helps embody or helps embolden my own confidence.
Yeah,
so, good. Yeah. What about you? How's it been working on this project with me?
Oh, if I ever have a choice of someone, I guess I'm choosing you. That's just how it is in terms of ministry. So it's been great in that respect too. I think I talked about Hopper and Joyce earlier from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I think a little bit we have, and maybe Mulder Scully, maybe even Ron and Leslie, we have a similar dynamic a little bit. You're always the dreamer, you're the big picture thinker, like you're able to pull all the strands of everything together and make it make sense.
Right.
And I'm more like the detail guy and do the nuts and bolts of putting together the podcast. So it's been a fun
part
that way.
Yes.
Just another opportunity for us to express what we've been on 15 years now. So so that's been cool too.
Yeah. And it just reminds me, like, we need everybody at the table, right? We need everybody at the table. We embody different gifts, different perspectives, different passions. Yeah. I appreciate the partnership we've had together, and I'm glad we get to continue to do it in this new thread coming up. And it's been a joy to partner in this way in the last couple of years on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We're going to bring this last of this thread with one final question. So, now that you've spoken with people in the field, do you feel encouraged about where the church is on this topic of women and men in partnership? Or do you feel discouraged? Do you feel mixed? What's your sense?
Can I say it depends on the day?
Sure.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It depends on the last email in my inbox or the last thing I saw on Twitter.
Yeah.
The last story I heard from a friend. Maybe.
Right.
It can be a little bit that way. But I will say in the big picture, I feel like there's so many doors opening right now for people to speak into a church that's going to be different around women and men together, and how equal partnership is going to define that next church, right? And probably the only other thing I'll say is, and that gives me hope for that, is I watch my kids. The kids are Gen Z.
Yes. Yes.
And we've had Gen Z guests on the podcast, and every time we interview them, whether it's Brooke and Maddie or Tim, I think we interviewed them. They fill me with hope. There's
me too.
Not to say that Gen Z is perfect. So kids listening, you're not perfect, right? From this but I think they have the right idea when it comes to women and men working together in partnership, and they see that as something that we would do, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no-brainer for them, right?
Right. You know,
down the road, right? If the church is open to receiving the input of Gen Z, right? Yeah. How about for you, Lai? What do you think?
I agree. I think it depends on what's happening currently, but I, by and large, I think I'm encouraged. And I think for similar reasons, when I think of who's upcoming in leadership right now, I also thought of some of these younger interviews that we did with Gen Z staff and leaders. And I have got to hold on to hope that things better models of ministry partnership are ahead. And I see it. I'm encouraged by the stories we've been able to highlight. I'm encouraged by my own experience of healthy partnerships in ministry in my own life. And I just got to hold on to hope. I've got two young boys. And I remember my oldest, when I was preparing to preach a few years ago, he was in his room doing quiet play or quiet time. And he was typing on a pretend keyboard that he had. And I asked him, "What are you doing?" And he's, "I'm preparing to preach just like you, mommy." And I just thought, oh man, this young little boy is like, just does not have the obstacles that I have in this vision. And so I hope to stay encouraged even on the days that discouraging things are happening. But until then, I think it's important that we continue to cast vision and share stories of what this could look like.
Yep. Amen. Yeah. I'd love to hear Heather preach. Let's do it.
One day.
Listen, we should probably say a big thank you to the listeners. This is episode 23. I just went back and looked. So this is 23. And if you've listened to all 23, you deserve some swag. I don't know if we have any swag around, whatever, but that's amazing. So thanks, listeners, for investing your time in this podcast thread. Yeah. And please join us as we continue on with our journey.
That's right. And we'll see you on the next thread.
Thanks everyone for joining us today. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow Christians for Biblical Equality on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can leave us a rating or a review on whatever podcast platform you use. And if you love this episode, and I'm sure you did, please do share it with a friend. I'm Rob Dixon. Lila's my co-host. And we'd like to thank all of our guests, close to 30 guests, and the team at CBE. Please be sure to listen to other episodes with our team of co-hosts coming to your devices every week. We are the Mutuality Matters podcast, and we thank you for listening.
Mutuality Matters podcast, along with thousands of CBE's other resources and content, is available for free on CBE's website, which is possible because of donor support. Together, we can spread the message that God calls women and men of all cultures, races, and classes to share authority equally in service and leadership in the home, church, and world. Give today at cbe.today/donate.